Stand for the reading of our gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell the disciples and Peter that he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, trembling, and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
He is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Hallelujah. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Sounds like a rather strange way to open Easter morning, doesn't it? Trembling and fear sounds much more like Good Friday, not Easter morning. But why were they afraid? Why were they so bewildered? Bewildered being that your reality has just been turned upside down. Had they just learned of some tragedy? Had someone died? Well, yes, but also no. This is what the angel tells them. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. So what could cause more confusion and this bewilderment? To learn that a loved one has died? Or to hear that your loved one has come back to life? Which one for you would be more confusing? I know which one causes more pain, but which one is more unexpected? See, when we read Mark's account of the resurrection, it seems rather strange that the very first people to hear the Easter message react in fear and confusion. Perhaps it's because the message of the resurrection truly is a life-jarring message. You see, there are three women who went to the tomb on the Easter morning, were standing near the cross when Jesus died. His death must have caused great grief and sorrow, probably even disappointment. No doubt they found it very hard to believe that this loving and kind Jesus could be so hated that the rulers would kill him. But his death probably was not enough to cause such a shock. People of Jesus' day were accustomed to death, even having loved ones die. You see, during this time period, the life expectancy was only about 40 years. Plus, they saw the reality of death up close. Think about that. It was the women, friends of Jesus, who were coming to attend his body. They had ointments and spices to put on him. To do this, they would have had to handle a dead body. This was common. People were used to it. No nice, sterile funeral homes or licensed morticians in those days. They were used to death being all around them. Today, we spend a lot of money to try to soften the impact of losing a loved one. But as hard as it is for us also, death is not unexpected, especially the older that we get. My grandmother years ago would go to lunch with a group of her friends once a month. They called it their birthday group. The lunch each month would celebrate the birthdays that took place within that month. And I asked her one time where she was going this month for their lunch. And she says, I don't go anymore. I said, well, why not? She says, because they're all gone. It's the inevitable end for all of us. Paul tells us the wages of sin is death, and the prophet Ezekiel writes, the soul that sins shall die. Death is not a surprise. But what about resurrection? Now that is a surprise. Life coming out of death. Having a dead one come back to life and walk around this earth in a human body, eating food, talking to people just as Jesus did, that's surprising. I've never seen that before, and I'm guessing none of you have ever seen that before either. After the women responded to what they had seen and heard, they rushed and told the disciples. And they didn't believe it either. It just did not seem right. Now, to be fair, Jesus did tell them that this would happen, that he would die and rise after his death, but the message just didn't register in their thinking of reality. So the angel had to remind the women, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. That's why when Jesus did appear to the disciples, he demonstrated to all of them that it was really him. He really did rise from the dead. Remember Thomas putting his hands in Jesus' wounds. Remember Jesus eating breakfast on the shore with his disciples. It was really Jesus. He really did come back to life. The disciples finally come around, but they don't really fully realize the impact that it would have on their lives. All they knew was that this resurrection of Jesus made their lives very different. But later they would come to understand that this surprisingly new reality unleashed a life-changing dynamic that would actually affect all of our lives also. Think about this. Jesus' resurrection means that your sins are forgiven. His resurrection proved that his death was sufficient to pay for all of your sins. Jesus' resurrection means that you too will rise from the dead. Paul writes, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That means us. Jesus' resurrection means that everything about your life has now changed. It's new. You have a certain hope based on a new reality that even death cannot disappoint. Every day is lived with the certainty that our Redeemer is alive. When I think about this new resurrection reality as revealed and experienced by the women, it seems very familiar then to Christian funerals and faithful Christians who attend. The women were going to make the final preparations for a burial. We do the same thing. Mourners gather here in this place. Final viewings take place. You can feel the pain and the grief in the air. People closest to the person have been making preparations and making large decisions for the past few days. And when the casket's closed for the final time, family enters this space with their loved one on their minds. How does life go on with their dear friend or family member gone? So the very first thing I say is this. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, then we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And after that, Jesus' very words, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. A message filled with resurrection promises from Jesus, verses of I know that my Redeemer lives, and those attending begin to adjust to this new amazing reality that death has been defeated. Not only for the loved one who died in the faith, but every single person who is attending. Therefore, this new life that comes from the resurrection of Jesus means that we approach everything in our lives, including funerals, in a new way. We no longer need think in the terms of avoiding the reality of death or pushing back the thoughts of Judgment Day. Jesus did rise from the dead, just as he said. His resurrection promises us new life, eternal life with God. Just as the women at the tomb had to adjust to this new reality in their lives, we too make the same adjustments. Because Jesus changed everything when he rose from the dead. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.